Text for the afternoon is God's Word as we confess it in the Canons of Dort, Chapter 1, Article 7. Found in the back of the Psalter Hymnal on page 93. Article 7. Chapter 1. These words. Election is the unchangeable purpose of God, whereby before the foundation of the world he has, out of mere grace, according to the sovereign good pleasure of his own will, chosen from the whole human race which had fallen through their own fault from their primitive state of rectitude into sin and destruction, a certain number of persons for redemption in Christ, whom he from eternity appointed the mediator and head of the elect and the foundation of salvation. This elect number, though by nature neither better nor more deserving than others, but with them involved in one common misery, God has decreed to give to Christ to be saved by him, and effectually to call and draw them to his communion by his word and spirit, to bestow upon them true faith, justification, and sanctification, and having powerfully preserved them in the fellowship of his Son, finally to glorify them for the demonstration of his mercy and for the praise of the riches of his glorious grace, as it is written, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. And elsewhere, whom he has foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Thus far. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, beloved of the Lord, perhaps at times we take especially note of the fact that we get older. You would immediately notice that when a man gets to be 76, he looks older than he was when he was 56. And you would immediately recognize that your children are growing up, about which you are quite happy. And you are also well aware that we change as we grow older. We need glasses now and then. We need to comb our hair perhaps a little differently. We are aware of the fact that we're aging. It only means that we live in time. And we're well aware that we can predict how the sun will come up and where it'll come up and where it will set and at what time. You see, we live in time. And we love God who lives in eternity. And then the connection between time and eternity isn't always so clear to us. Much has been said, even more has been written perhaps, about how the confessions say that. What do we really believe? Oh yes, when our elders and deacons are elected, we make them sign the form of subscription. We know what they believe. It's right here in the back of this book. And we who are members of the church, we also believe that when we stand there and make profession of our faith, as many of us did. We said that you, I, believe all that is taught in this Christian church, and we echo it and repeat it at baptism. That's what we believe. Just, you see, it hasn't always been that way in history. It hasn't always been clear as time went on. It was a development, the understanding was, and it was clarified as time progressed and discussion took place and many arguments happened. And so when this afternoon we hear that word of God, as we confess it in this particular article, we've given the sermon a title, simple. God chose us in him. And have assigned 3 points. His choice in eternity, his choice in time, and his choice in Christ. And if we were to put the entire sermon together in one sentence, let alone in one sentence, and say that's our theme for the afternoon, the summary of it, we might want to say something like this. In Article 7, of the canons, we confess that in eternity the triune God decreed in his counsel of peace, to complete his plan for the creation by designing redemption through his only begotten Son for those whom he, out of the entire human race, whom he had in his sovereign good pleasure unalterably chosen in the Son of his love, so that one day in the renewed creation they would eternally live in his presence. To repeat, in Article 7 of the Canons, we confess that in eternity, the triune God decreed in his counsel of peace to complete his plan for the creation by designing redemption through his only begotten Son for those out of the entire human race, whom he, in his sovereign good pleasure, unalterably chose in the Son of his love, so that one day, in the renewed creation, they would be eternally living in his presence. You see, beloved of the Lord, it's an astonishing matter, this whole thing of election. It's astounding. But then our forefathers hadn't always agreed with each other. Many, many in the audience came from the Netherlands. Some even from a more northern province. And then you recognize immediately, of course, that there was one time, as the church had been established in the Netherlands, well, there were only 2 confessions. And there was agitation. Agitation early in the 17th century, when the church had sort of solidified in the Netherlands, with those 2 confessions, the Belgian Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism. And the ministers, some of them, began to say, hey, we should have greater freedom. We should somehow be able to be no more personal in what we believe. We shouldn't be bound so by these restrictions. And then, you see, it began to unfold what we well know in the Netherlands, the trouble with professors who taught the ministers, who taught the people. And they drifted away from the truth of God as we had before that understood it. And then, you see, it was in 1610 that many of these ministers came together, led by a professor who taught in Leiden in the seminary. And they crafted 5 statements of understanding the Bible as they wished them to be understood. And then when it came to election, they said these words, for Christ's sake, let me read the entire thing, that God by an eternal and immutable decree has in Christ his Son determined before the foundation of the world to save out of the fallen sinful human nature those in Christ, for Christ's sake and through Christ, who by the grace of the Holy Spirit shall believe in his Son Jesus Christ and persevere in this faith and obedience of faith to the end. That statement proved to many to be unacceptable. And you see, when you read it at first, as for example one professor did in his commentary on this confession, he said, what would you say? And it looks good, it's deceptive, and yet you see, it is an election that is conditioned upon our acceptance. God foresaw in eternity that people would believe, and he chose those who would believe. And that is what that statement says. We call them the Arminians. That was the name of the professor, Jacobus Arminius. And you see, though he died in 1610, the synod met in 1618, November 13, and continued until May 9 of the following year. For 154 times they met together, these brothers, in the armory there in Dordrecht. The times were cool, and the candle wax that was used, was a lot. And they talked. These representatives, 86 of them, they talked together about these matters. They spoke and they spoke. And finally, you see, they wrote it out and came together. It was in March 21 that finally these canons were approved unanimously. It was then of that year, you see, 1619, it was then that what we now confessed became part of how we understand Scripture. We understand that this statement, as we have initially read it from the Psalter Hymnal, where it is recorded for us, is indeed what the Bible says. He chose us in eternity, out of humanity that he indeed was calling into being. And though that number, a certain number, would be damned, if you wish a crude word, condemned, God in his grace said, but a certain limited number I will write in my book. That's what he did. And it's hard to understand that he picked a sinner like me. Why me, you say? Certainly I say. Because of his good, sovereign, good pleasure. He chose in eternity, before he created, he decided that this man, he wrote it down in the book of life, as we read it in Revelation 20, and then you see it appear. All those who are not in that book are condemned forever. It's also found in Genesis 17. And you see, the wonder of it all is he did that because he wished to. Because he wished to continue the plan he had in his mind, we would say, while he communed together. We sometimes call it the covenant of redemption. When God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit spoke together, that was the purpose of his will, the counsel of his will, the counsel of peace, we sometimes call it, when he decided that he would have a church, that he would have an earth, that he would have the people who would love him. And he chose certain people to everlasting salvation and condemned others unto eternal hell. And you see, beloved of God, that truth is unacceptable to the majority of people. That confession, the confession of Dordrecht, in all five of the chapters, they follow the five chapters of which we read one, the first one. That confession is unacceptable to more modern people. We have to have the last word, and God's children humbly say, but my God had the first word as well as the last. I am chosen by grace. He did it. That choice in eternity, we said would be point one. That choice, you see, came out of his sovereign goodwill. Did we somehow deserve it more than those who are condemned? Is each one here chosen to everlasting life? Well, you see, God knows the answer to it all. And he chose us. It's an astonishing thing, we repeat it. We who live in time, well, we can look ahead, so we think, and we don't know. We could die. I could die when the plane we leave in early, early tomorrow morning crashes. And then this person would enter eternity. But you see, time on this world is so that I may learn to believe. That is, I may come to see that my God has chosen me in eternity for the purpose that I should be part of that plan. And that plan we mentioned it this morning, somewhat in passing, was that his love should be responded to by creatures for whom he created a world to live on, and that these creatures should give him the honor. And then, believing that somehow he did it all is an astonishing thing. That, you see, confession. Article 7 in particular, it's the highlight, if you will, of the entire canons. Oh, it's expanded and expressed differently, but in Article 7, the central pillar, the pivot, if you will, is found. Here is the heart of the church, to use John Calvin's words. Cor ecclesiae, he called it in Latin. Then, you see, this election. Well, it upholds me, the church, and this world. That is the plan of redemption. That my God in eternity, in the council of his peace, we said, and particularly as described in Ephesians chapter 1, a beautiful chapter, well known almost to all. Even as he chose us in eternity for particular purposes, but especially the summary comes for the good pleasure of his will. He desired it and he did it. That makes me helpless in many ways. In terms of my eternal destination, I am chosen or I am not. That's what God did and forms the foundation. We keep repeating it in different words a little bit, of our faith, the foundation of our faith. Then you see, beloved of God, we stand in amazement that God not only chose us in eternity, but in time. And we said our second point would be his choice in time. It isn't merely that somehow, as we hinted at it this morning, is a principle that sits there by itself. It is an implementation of that in time by him. And so you see God choosing his children and granting them, giving to them the ability to believe that. Would you of yourself ever believe that kind of thing? It's hardly possible, rational as we are. You can't figure it out, no how. God said, but in time I will give them faith, I will give them justification, I will give them redemption full and free, and that is where it comes to us, faith. How do I believe that? How is it possible that you, a young person, should believe that? And the answer is, because of the Holy Spirit. Because of the Spirit he gave to work in the hearts of those he has redeemed, and the word that he sent them, so that you would know that, for example, in reading, the familiar passage in Romans 8, we know that all things work together for good to those who love him, to those who have been called by him. For those whom he calls, he predestined, you see, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those whom he knew beforehand, it suggests, he also calls. And those whom he calls, he also justifies. And those whom he justifies, he also glorifies. Who then shall bring any charge to God's elect? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who gave his only Son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? To continue that quotation that you find in the article, that wonderful reality. He has made it known to me, and he works in me to believe it. How does faith come? How did you get to believe? When you make profession of faith, were you born again? Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a person is born from above, he cannot enter. That is, born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So, that's in John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5. Then, you were born again? How do you know that? How did it happen? Or don't you know for sure? And how can we tell? Well, you see, we believe it. We believe that my God has chosen me. Are you one of the elect? And you say, well, yes. And we'd say, how can you tell? And the answer is, I believe it, that my sins are forgiven, I have been justified. And perhaps you'd quote the first verse or so from Romans 5. Having been justified, therefore, by faith, we have peace with God. That peace is in me. I know whom I have believed. I know. You can't talk me out of it. You can't convince me otherwise, because the Spirit of God has opened my heart. Opened my heart. As he did, for instance, Lydia, to whom we referred specifically this morning, speaking about Philippians. Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened to receive the word as it was brought by the apostles. Do during the preaching. It may be sometimes difficult to fully give all attention. And sometimes, you know, it isn't always easy to be fully awake and attentive. And yet, the wonder of it is that God works in us both to will and to work according to his good pleasure, as we would read in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. That work in me, in time, is the work that he decided in eternity, that this creature in time would come to have faith, would come to understand what justification. And you're well aware that there is a lot of trouble in the Reformed churches these days about justification. Where does it come from? What is it? How does it function? Justification by faith, you see, means my original guilt is gone and I am forgiven day by day. And I plead with my Father, forgive me all my debts. Then that election, that choice of his in eternity, that putting the finger on me, my name, you see, he prepared because he established a covenant, a relationship, as we explained it this morning. When he promises and we walk in his way in devotion, in devoted obedience. And then you see the wonder that what God decided in the council of his peace, to use the words of verse 11 here of what we read, becomes a reality in time because he insists that in fact, all those chosen should come to redemption. And thus, you see, in the setting of the covenant, for the sake of his honor and to the praise of his glory, he, God, the immutable, unchangeable, eternal God, he works in time in such a way that he, oh, by his word and spirit, in the unity of true faith, we believe, gathers for himself a church. And you know the next words. Chosen unto everlasting life. And should we ask our young people, so where's that found? They would say without hesitation, oh, that's Lord's Day 21. You know. Answer 54. And we'd say, oh yeah, that's right. You see, Lord's Day 21 is that Lord's Day that not only focuses on the communion of saints, but it focuses on God's choice, chosen for himself, a church, for everlasting life. And then you know the last words. Of which I believe I am and forever shall remain a living member. That confession comes out of believing, embracing, applying to myself that truth that God has revealed. Even as he has blessed us in all the heavenly places, we read there in verse 3 of the passage we read, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Therefore, he has adopted us as his sons and daughters. You are his because he made you his. That, can you prove it? For the answer is you believe it. What is faith? Oh, our young people say, we know true faith. You know, Lord's Day 7. Answer 21. True faith is not only having a firm conviction that all that God has revealed in his word is true, but also a heartfelt assurance that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins have been granted by grace. And then you see, that forgiveness, I believe all that God has said, what we read this afternoon, that he chose us in eternity. And therefore, you see, beloved of God, he has, in fact, chosen a Savior. You have, we trust, read many a time, 1 Peter. Do you know that fisherman who had little education and wrote so well? Peter, 1 Peter 1. He has redeemed us by the precious blood of the Savior. Precious blood of a lamb, it reads there precisely, whom he chose before the foundation of the world, but revealed in time for your sake. And then you say, we have arrived at point three. Namely, his choice in Christ. We are chosen not only in eternity, not only to live on this earth in time, but it was all in the Beloved One. He transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves, Colossians 1, 13, going into 14. Then you see there, beloved, the wonder that God Almighty, wise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit designed a plan of redemption in Christ for the purpose of his grace and his love. A plan, though it seemed to fall apart, he decided to make it work by choosing a remnant, if you will, certain to everlasting life, others to everlasting condemnation. Double predestination, we'd say, with John Calvin, Augustine, and others, of course, in order that I should know that it is all because of my Savior, the Christ. I am chosen not apart from him. I am chosen in him. It all can be true if I believe in him. It is only real for me if I am in him. En Christo, it is frequently in the Greek language in the original of the New Testament. You find it there by Paul, time after time after time, in Christ. It all is a verity of the truth, because you see, he came, as we observed this morning. He did it all. Satisfied, paid for me. The Son of God did not come. Did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We read in Matthew 20, verse 28. Because God decided, Father, Son, and Spirit, to do it this way, so that in time I would be living in this century, I would know I belong to Jesus. I am his and he is mine, and his banner over me is love, to use the word of the Old Testament, Song of Songs. Then you see the wonder, chosen in Christ. We cannot somehow artificially say, I am elect. Apart from believing, I belong to the Savior who gave his life a ransom for me. Then I see the fullness of the love the Father has for all his children dear. A love that he would even take in a sinner like me. And then we see him, God, holy, just, loving, determined to carry out what he intended in his own way and with the price of his own son, according, you see, to the grace and the good pleasure of his will. I ask the wonder that we are chosen. Not because God knew we'd carry out. He chose us and made it happen. He chose us, made us be born in time, so that our genomes, the genes and chromosomes out of which we're built, would be of such a nature that we are ready to, you see, to take it in. And to be born in a family where God is honored and the truth is taught. And a church that is faithful. Faithful in the proclamation of the word. We confess it in Article 49 of the Belgian Confession. The true church. The true church where God's word is purely preached. Where the sacraments are purely administered. And where discipline is faithfully exercised. So that we would never forget, but always know that the truth has set us free. The truth, yes, he who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And then we simply embrace him. And love my Father who gave his Son for all those whom he chose so that on this world God's plan for, well, the children that are to be born, for all those whom he chose should come to realization. Such love permeates, goes through this particular article, the love of God. May God grant that this week we shall live by faith. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we have heard astonishing things, whereof we are glad. And we were able to echo, of which I am and forever shall remain a living member. And so grant, Lord, that each one here and all members of this church may be redeemed by grace through Christ, faithful to their calling. Forgive us, Lord, when we become impatient. Forgive us, Lord, when we're unfaithful on occasion. Will you carry us forward? And when we see the footsteps in the sand, sometimes only yours, we know that your word shall come to fulfillment. Be near to us then, each of us, the lonely, those of our special needs, as this week continues. Be gracious to those who travel homeward. Remember each of us, in Christ our Lord. Amen. Our song of response is